This is the one, you guys.
Moscow on the Hudson.
We're doing it.
We're doing
this
it.
This is kind of
I don't know what we're doing, but we're doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Down in Front. Our movie this week is Surrogates.
Wee-hee! It really is, you guys.
Yeah.
No fooling.
It actually is Surrogates.
We've done every other movie. It's time to see the King Daddy.
It's time to see the original.
Once we finish this commentary, we are officially retiring down in front. Right, guys?
Yeah, because this is the last movie ever made.
Yeah, there's no point going on after
all the
this.
Other movies are in this movie.
Yeah.
So this
once
is
we
it.
Do this movie, it's all over.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pop in your DVD, press play, press pause. When the Touchstone logo fades to black, the first frame you perceive of all black on your DVD, press pause. And in a second, I'll say 3, 2, 1, unpause. I'll press play. You won't plus play because you're not going to fucking watch this.
And you'll listen to going
the, to. And you'll listen to the commentary as if it was any other podcast.
Yes.
Except, of course, this time with four friends
with
in your head.
Four surrogates in your head.
In this case, the original four people have come to say goodbye to Down in Front.
Yeah. It's the original Broadway cast of Down in Front. It feels like we haven't done this, been in this configuration for quite a while.
We haven't been here in a while.
Myself, as always, Teague Christie. My friend Brian William Fenifter.
Greetings.
Michael Dying Scott.
This isn't really, unless I die, this isn't the last episode, actually, because I'm starting to feel sad just imagining that it really is.
No. Unless you do die.
I do die.
And Trey the Amazing Stokes.
Hey, welcome back to me.
Those that, for whatever new listeners we might have on this episode, it's worth explaining what's going on right now. We've had a joke since the trailer came out. After seeing the trailer, we realized that it seems like this movie, Surrogates, is ripping off everything. But then we started joking about it backwards by saying, man, every fucking movie ripped off Surrogates.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
I would rather live in a universe where every movie somehow retroactively ripped off this movie than this movie ripped off every other movie and got away with it. Well, so I reject this reality and substitute my own.
We don't always get the universe we want.
Exactly.
It came along in 2009 and just ripped off cliches and tropes from every sci-fi thing, mostly like iRobot, Minority Report, Snow Crash. But there's a bunch. There's fucking everything. Every sci-fi thing is in this movie, and all that's left.
And
is,
yet somehow
it's nothing. It's kind of
it all adds up to nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, my name is Teague, and my opinion of this movie is that it's actually genius.
Okay.
I think this is actually genius. Now here's why. If you imagine a Galaxy Quest level quality satire or parody, you would have to write, if you're going to do a parody of the sci-fi action blockbuster genre, you would have to write something to kind of use as a framework for the jokes to play out. This is the best possible amalgam of everything to create a original, quote-y, original sci-fi story using, no one will ever be challenged on any point in this movie because they've seen it all before in different places. It's like a collage of tropes. They forgot to write the jokes, and it was an accident, and that's what happened. That's why it's this movie. It's like middle of the road, fucking watered down sci-fi movie, and not the genius satire it was going to be. Is that they just forgot to write the jokes, which is unfortunate because I was looking forward to the jokes.
Yeah. It
turns out this movie isn't a comedy at all.
I kind of get the impression this movie is like someone went and took all the deleted scenes from all the science fiction movies made in the past 10 years and kind of just pasted together a Bruce Willis sort of through line that kind of drew them all together, and I think that's how this movie got written.
I think it's actually genius, and it's almost clever in how it's ripping everything off. I don't think anyone noticed.
No,
yeah,
except for us, because we're just that good.
Brian,
that's
Surrogates,
what we do.
What did it do? By the way, I had to be the one to buy Surrogates today.
I don't think I just for the record, I don't think you did. I think there are places where they will loan it to you briefly
in exchange for a small.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing. It's not that I had to purchase it. It's that I had to walk somewhere with it, buy a rent. Either way,
you had to be seen.
I had to hand someone Surrogates and say this one.
Mm. Did you get the really?
No, I wanted it. I wanted to be like punished. Like I feel like I needed it. Brian,
did you feel dirty about the fact that you know you didn't
that
have
you got
an
that you got away with
for
it?
Defense? You know, like no, really, like
it's for work.
It's like they talk about how
it's research,
like,
it's tax write-off.
They talk about how criminals secretly want to be caught. It's like you secretly wanted someone to shit on you for buying Surrogates, and it just didn't happen.
Brian,
punish me, I'm a bad boy.
How do you feel about the movie, sir?
I don't. It's,
come on, you're a big sci-fi fan. You know
I
everything
love sci-fi.
About sci-fi.
Yeah, and this is a, it's enough of it's like well I can watch this and it's. If I just want to see sci-fi that I've seen a million times before, but I haven't seen these specific frames in that particular order, sure, I'll watch that.
Never seen these angles.
Exactly. Yeah. I've never seen this particular frame composition and the fact that it's Bruce Willis in exactly this. But other than that...
Last time I saw this scene, it was Schwarzenegger, but now it's Bruce Willis for some reason.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly. It's like, I've seen... That's it's funny. Exactly like the thing where... Oh, I've seen whatever favorite science fiction film I've had. I love that movie, but I don't want to watch it again. So I'll watch this crappy knockoff instead.
You know what would be fun for someone who had no life at all? Well, yeah. I assume it'd be all fun because you got nothing else to do.
Raise your hand around the room.
Yeah, exactly. is to go through and like do like a side by side and basically recut Surrogates from every other movie. Just find the similar.
Dark Man,
someone should do that.
Talk about the movie.
This is what you
does
were saying.
It, does it
this
interest
is
you?
This is a zero sum movie. Like, it comes to like the thing about it, and it actually it totally made sense to discover that it was the same guy who did Terminator 3 because it has the same problem. It's like the movie finishes and you're like, but I feel like we just got done setting it up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's
now the story
okay,
will begin.
That's act one.
So there's an idea there.
Yeah.
Now what are you telling me about that idea?
Yeah. It's completely, it feels like the entire movie is just one long first act and not too much else happens. And so it almost feels like it could have had potential. I mean, there are definitely concepts there that you can play with, but they don't. It's just kind of, you know, a rote sci-fi actioner thing, and it's like, I don't even understand what the point of... And we can get to it. Like Bruce Willis's character has no arc at all, and it would have been a very simple thing to add it, but they didn't, you know. But anyway.
Well, he does have an arc. His arc is he's afraid to go outside, but then he's okay. There you go. He's agoraphobic, but then not so much.
Trey, you've read just about every sci-fi book ever written.
Not every one of them. There's two that I missed.
Two?
Yeah.
Offhand, how many things do you think this is cribbing?
I don't, off the top of my head, I couldn't give you a firm figure.
So it's not two?
No, it's more than two. We'll just go through because,
60.
You know, we'll take a step back.
If we can identify things as
we
go,
exactly.
That would
that's
be good.
That's from Hyperion. After all the joking we did about Surrogates, I believe I was the actually one to break,
you were the first.
I broke cherry on the one who actually saw it.
I thought it would be funnier if none of us ever did,
yeah,
to be honest.
But I took the plunge and all right, well, let's see what this thing is all about. And I was kind of just like mind boggled by wow, it's everything
by how specifically generic it is.
And so I immediately wrote everybody and I said, oh my god, you guys have to watch it. It's on Netflix streaming. Grab it right now. There's no excuse.
It's all we ever dreamed.
It's everything we
run,
ever
don't
wanted.
Walk.
Yeah.
It's like a rainforest.
It's either a movie we're going to have lots to talk about or immediately the show will end.
It's going to bomb out.
Yeah, we'll just like stop.
I'm not going to
do
kind
it
kind
or flame out.
I kind of feel like we've already exhausted the possibilities.
No,
we may have,
set
every shot our water.
There's stuff to talk about, I think.
I just love the fact that here we have the DVD box in my hand right here, and the best pull quote they could come up with is entertaining by Leonard Maltin, which, you know, is kind of like the equivalent.
Leonard Maltin saying you're entertaining is...
Yeah, that's a pan from Leonard Maltin. I mean, you know, it's fantastic. You know.
Yeah. No, there's more.
Yeah, Bruce Willis remains a stalwart among movie action heroes.
Remains a stalwart.
Yeah.
Didn't go up, didn't go down, yeah. Just right like, down the middle.
According to Leonard Maltin, Bruce Willis turned in a workmanlike journeyman performance in this entertaining 90 almost minutes of celluloid something or
presentation.
Other.
Presentation.
That's the
yeah,
high octane action.
Splash that right across the cover.
So yeah, Surrogates.
High five.
I didn't actually articulate it when I saw it, but when then you articulated that the whole movie is like the setup for a really interesting possible movie. That's exactly the case. I kind of characterized it similarly but differently when I saw it. It's like the trailer. The trailer gives away the one thing that really does happen in the movie, which is at the end, spoiler, when all the robots shut down. So it's all about those five shots of everybody on the planet keeling over and doing a face plant in the middle of the street. The whole movie is just to give you that moment of like, wow, that just happened.
Yeah.
And
I still have a major problem with how it plays out, but we'll get to that.
I totally do too, because it turned. You know,
let's get it playing before.
Yeah,
we,
that's why before we run out. Totally.
So
out
you're at the point
say.
Where the touchdown logo has faded to black, and you are preparing your orifices for Jonathan Mostow's tiny little penis.
Hey,
get your mouse or remote ready.
571 was good,
but it's about a giant submarine.
Well,
uh-oh.
You see how he's compensating?
Yeah, okay.
And
okay.
Any director that makes a movie about a lot of submarines, there's something going on there.
What a hack.
I can't believe how much I lucked into that one. Okay,
yeah,
three,
really.
Two, one, on pause.
Oh, God.
All right.
We should say what you were talking about with the trailer. I won't say where this information came from just in case it's like it would be a weird thing. But apparently what happened was because they made Surrogates and then it kind of sat on the shelf for a little while. Mm. And then they showed it to a bunch of trailer editors and said,
What do we need?
If you cut this trailer together, what could make it cool? Like, literally just give us shots that you want to cut in. And then they did. And so they went and just kind of stitched together a minor sort of plot to fit those shots into the movie so they could use them in the trailer.
I've heard that's true. I've heard that as well
Lord.
From a different source. So
that's,
I think that's a thing.
I'm sure you just made that up, and that's not a credible idea.
Under no set of circumstances can we be moving on.
Okay. Okay. A moment of silence for Radha Mitchell, because I love Radha Mitchell. And what's great about Radha Mitchell, she's like Naomi Watts. I'm gonna start with something positive. I'm gonna start with a positive thing to say about this movie, or at least something about the movie. Is Radha Mitchell is one of those, you know, really, really good actresses who is willing to show up in potentially schlocky movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Radha Mitchell was in Pitch Black. Radha Mitchell was in this. She was in
Hollow Man.
She was in Hollow Man. That's true. And you know, she, for whatever reason, she's like Naomi Watts. She's a really excellent actress who shows up in movies like this. And I think we need more of them. Quite frankly, I think she's one of my favorite things in this movie.
Jack, this is real. That's a real thing.
These robot things are almost all
real. That's scary Japanese droid thing.
I've been working on a joke, and I don't know how to put it. I have just this joke that I want to say in life. I don't have it, like, a reason to make it. But the robots are going to be pissed when they figure out how to stand up when the lab techs keep pushing them. Like, once they figure it's a premise. I'm working on it. I'm working it out.
When one turns around and just swings them,
you know, they're going to be pissed
the
because all they've known for the last 15 years is lab techs pushing on them to show how they can stand up.
Yeah. One day they'll push
back. I wonder what the previous, like, court cases were about the use of surrogates and everything like that.
That led to
the point where it had to go to the Supreme Court.
Wasn't there another?
And on what constitutional basis?
Mormons pulled up some bullshit.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What was the?
Because then next thing you know, people are going to be marrying them.
Yeah.
Yep. And there you go.
Was it iRobot or Minority
Report?
There you go.
There's a cliche shot right there.
Or Bicentennial Man. Or what movie was it where they started with the little catch you up infomercial at the beginning? Wasn't that
Elizabeth
in one of them?
I think iRobot did.
I know.
That.
I was like, that's not that happens
Elizabeth
a lot.
Banks, the actress, isn't
it? I'm gonna check that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Seems weird. I don't buy this. If you're gonna use surrogates, first of all, correlation, not causation. Yeah. Secondly, if you're gonna use surrogates and you can do anything and not die, you would think violent crime would go up.
If no one is a real person, I'd be killing people left and right.
Yeah. Freakonomics. Abortions stopped happening because they're not really having sex with each other.
What? Oh, what?
Freakonomics. You haven't heard? There's a study that shows that the increased abortion rates in the 70s and 80s led to the fall of crime in the 90s because there was no more unwanted babies to be criminals later.
There were fewer.
Fewer, way fewer, but not certainly no more. But maybe it's just because the surrogates have sex with each other and don't create little baby surrogates.
Well, sure, but
which would be Furbies.
The thing is, you know, if you have the potential, put it this way. Okay, first issue of failed potential to explore.
If there
can essentially be no consequences for you when you do anything, no physical consequences at least. Oh, Ving.
Ving with dreads freaks me out. It's just wrong.
Then why wouldn't, like there's, you know, there's the version of this, there's the Children of Men version of this where there's a scene with some guy playing chicken with a train and he fails and just gets obliterated.
Right.
But who cares? Everyone just laughs. Because they know he's fine,
right?
You know, and that's the kind of world that I feel like people would be more daring.
They'd
in
be
this
just
world.
Be fucking.
It wouldn't just be walking around like everyday life type of thing. They'd be crazy.
I agree with you because I don't think the screenwriter.
It is the same Elizabeth Banks, by the way.
Interesting.
No kidding.
Yeah.
When did they film this thing?
How is Elizabeth Banks a producer? That's cool.
Know.
I mean, I like Elizabeth Banks. I follow her on Twitter. Even she's amusing.
What are we gonna go with on this one? Matrix. Dark City?
I guess Matrix. Tron.
Tron.
The new Tron.
Oh, Tron. There you go. The
dude, they did rip off surrogates.
Totally. They actually
Holy
did.
Shit.
They actually did rip off surrogates. It's creepy.
We got ourselves.
All right, so what are the big ones that we're talking about in this? It's iRobot. A lot of iRobot.
There's definitely a lot of iRobot.
Right down to the fact that it's James Cromwell.
Now, is...
James Cromwell plays the exact same character that he played in iRobot. It's almost like they literally used outtakes from iRobot.
Now, where is the concept of surrogates most familiar from? I know it mostly from the book Snow Crash.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that I go with the most, where they have the metaverse, so it's not actually reality, but they can implant themselves into all these different things. Although they took the concept and played with it, and they fucked with the thing. So they weren't just people. They were like, the book talks about how one guy's avatar was just a giant walking penis and stuff like that.
There's no reason that you couldn't have that here. I mean, they occasionally show some big blue guy and shit like that.
Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know why they don't.
And what they don't do here in this movie at all, which would be
awesome.
I mean, almost the obvious thing to do is they do touch on it a little bit when this is what we should be seeing all the time.
Yeah,
people
killing themselves.
This is how you should get into the club.
Exactly.
Like you give your ticket to the doorman and leap.
Yeah.
You know.
But
He should be able to fly, for God's sake.
Yeah, just have a little jetpack or something.
I can't remember what novel it was, but I remember.
Put a jetpack in your butt. Yeah, who cares? Fucking do whatever.
I read a novel which one of the main what ifs of the novel, what the magic meaning of the novel, was that genetic engineering was just had become infinitely impossible to do anything. Mm-hmm. Like you could alter your body in any kind of way, and part of it was people just would be anything. I mean, a guy would turn himself into the devil.
A pirate ship.
Exactly, with devils and bat wings, and then do that and be that for 6 months, and then they would be something else for 6 months. They would just have it changed. So, and then here was everyone's just...
Brings new meaning to the phrase, I want to be a fire truck when I grow
up. Exactly. Yeah. Why doesn't everyone turn into Transformers? I'd want to be one without any skin. I'd want to be just the armature walking around.
All right. Inciting incident, guys. Screenwriting. It's happening. Right in front
something,
of our faces.
Something has happened and it's intriguing.
Why do they run for their lives?
Because you don't want to damage. You don't want to damage your surf.
Yeah. The only thing is they're kind of they're expensive. Sure.
Right,
yeah.
Fair enough.
But and then you can't go out anymore because you're an ugly schmoo back in your bathrobe at home.
But the thing that they don't really play with
schmoo.
What they don't really play with aside from the kind of plot twist when his partner gets taken over, they don't really play with the notion of identity. You don't know who you're talking to. You never know if the person you're talking to is the person. They do bring that up. Bruce Willis, there's a scene where he's like, for all I know, you're some fat fuck and is goddamn whatever. Right. And he doesn't say that because it's PG-13, isn't it? But, that kind of thing.
Unlike
but
us.
It's that idea.
But it's just a throwaway line as opposed to but people just assume that they, or do they?
Do
they
or
just,
do they not care anymore?
Or do they not care? Is it the same as it almost is on the internet where you're like, well, I practically don't care as long as, as long as your surrogate's a chick.
As long as your avatar is hot, I'm actually going to
be. They do have one joke on that where someone's, is a hot chick in the world and it's actually a big fat guy in the bathrobe. But
speaking of what we were just talking about, you can be anything. You can be blue, you can have horns or whatever. Bruce Willis is like, I'm me with hair.
Yeah, I'm going to have William
That's his surrogate.
I'm going to have William Hurt's haircut. That's what I'm going to be.
William Hurt.
And it's
exactly right. It is William Hurt.
I mean,
haircut.
I am impressed by the sort of weird kind of rubbery Bruce Willis they've created here.
Yeah.
It's intriguing.
I actually like the surrogate makeup in that sense, the fact that they make them feel synthetic. Although you think they'd be better at it by now, but maybe they don't care.
Yeah.
And there, that was, by the way, that's Radha Mitchell, who spends most of this movie looking all perfect.
Who needs cars?
And her,
exactly. Put shit in your feet.
Yeah,
just go boom. I love this. This is a great concept, the loner surrogate.
Kind of looks like AI, though, don't it?
The whole idea of a different class system being
visible.
Oh,
look at the fucking hands.
How,
ew. Yeah.
And how... Yeah. And how expensive your surrogate is, basically.
Yeah, the idea that this person would still do this rather than just walk in and open the damn door.
I mean,
there's a whole untapped part of this story, which is how on earth did society get to this point where no one goes around as themselves?
Right.
One of the reasons I have a hard time swallowing their magic bean is basically the population of at least this city, if not the planet, has doubled. It's you're walking the streets while you're still home. I mean, how do we have that much room for that many people?
And I really feel like you know what else? Cars.
Yeah, really?
And I'll tell you why. Because the whole thing about cars is that...
Yeah, so here it is. So here's it. Oh, my gosh.
There we go.
See?
Oh, and of course, the whole idea of Well, okay, so that's Matrix, but a lot of other
this
things
is, No,
well.
No, this is Snow Crash. This is straight up Snow Crash.
It's also Matrix. If for whatever reason, if your surrogate dies, you die too for some unknown
reason. Which is surprising to them, though, too.
That's new to the story. Yeah. That doesn't normally happen.
Wait, let me get two sentences real quick. Okay. In Snow Crash, the inciting incident is that there is a computer virus that occurs when you're in your surrogate mode. They call it the metaverse. You should never be able to be affected by what's going on in your little goggles when you're doing the metaverse thing. But this one computer hacker actually goes kind of crazy. His brain gets fried by this computer virus. And that's the inciting incident, and they're trying to figure out how this could possibly happen.
You make the book sound like it makes a lot more sense than it does. But
Snow Crash is awesome. Anyway, doesn't that sound a little familiar?
There we go. Hello.
Yeah, see, no, I buy that. That's what people would look like.
No, that's just the guy with from Fringe.
But why would you take the subway?
Well, yeah. You can take the subway, but why are there even seats on the subway? Why isn't everything just a charging station?
Yeah.
And why are there
yeah.
windows? Who cares?
Yeah, it's not like your feet are going to hurt.
Well,
yeah.
I think the idea is that they're simulating normal experience.
No, but why?
That was to the windows, not to the charging.
If you can go outside of normal experience, but safely, essentially.
But then again, we also live in a world where people play The Sims,
right?
And Second
right.
Life.
I'm sure you know, and you can make a social commentary about that whole thing with this, which they never really do. But
when they play The Sims, do they sit down for 15 minutes to take the subway? Is that part of the game, or do they kind of skip over the boring parts?
Well, in Red Dead Redemption, you have to literally ride your horse across the map.
I was saying about Cars is that like Cars takes place in a world which is designed like ours, but it's like
if it doesn't make any sense if
they were really cars. Building their world from the ground up, it would look nothing like the world we have built around the cars, you know? And similarly, it's like if you've got this world of surrogates, I feel like it would slowly and maybe it's too soon. It's only been around for like, what, 10 years or something.
Yeah. Yes, but everyone has them.
Right. You know, I feel like the world would have evolved to look a lot different than our world does.
Yeah.
And to take advantage of the fact that it's like, you know, you can turn off the surrogate's pain receptor or whatever. So it's like, oh, you got to travel somewhere fast? Well, this piston will just punch you in the face and just shoot you across the room, and you'll be fine. You know, it's like that. It would change the way that people
move around, like a cannon and a big net on the other side.
Exactly.
Of
exactly.
I feel like this movie would have benefited because later it's a big deal when he has to go out of the house without his surrogate.
Yeah.
That this movie would have benefited from kind of a Children of Many vibe when he's out on the street. People just shoot each other.
Oh yeah, people just do shit
because there's no real scariness aside from his internal paranoia that's like, oh, I could die now.
Yeah.
As opposed to fucking they kill people just cause.
If it was
I might really die. They don't know that.
Yeah, if somebody's just a little bit more careless.
That's a gun under the table.
Yeah. And they're all exactly the whole world is careless because it's like, man, you'll be fine or whatever.
Yeah.
But you've got a guy walking out into this psychotic world.
Right.
And for the first time, he's actually got to care about what happens.
By the way, I'm just going to say, I think I'm going to say Minority Report right now.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little bit of Minority Report ripped off the surrogates in this scene.
Minority Report, such a it ripped a lot of stuff off.
Yeah. Totally. Minority Report. Let's be honest. It itself is truly not innocent in this particular case. But by the way, this is when I started to notice it the first time I watched it. But it's like it's all Dutch angles. Like I think this whole movie
because they went to film school.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
True. Yeah, that is true. This movie is like entirely Dutch angles.
But or maybe let's watch it. Maybe it's only Dutch angles when he's out of the surrogate or something. So it's like this is not his normal. I don't know. We'll see.
Do you think they felt clever?
Huh? What?
Do you think they felt clever?
I don't know.
When they put this together, do you think they had done it?
The second time they cut it together, I hear that I read the IMDb trivia. Apparently, when they were restructuring it, Bruce Willis was so unhappy with what they were doing because they needed to.
He wanted to take his nail off of it.
They needed to do. They needed to do the thing where they were like shuffling scenes around and doing the whole thing and being like, "All right, we're focused on this other chick and we see the back of your head and we need you to say this line to make this scene work now." And he said no. So there's actually a voice double. For some of the lines.
Wow. Fortunately, Bruce Willis doesn't sound like anybody.
In this one. Yeah, exactly. Here's the problem.
Did they get the guy from Babylon 5? Because that would probably be the simple solution.
What's the problem?
Not the problem, but a big problem here in terms of like a story and having an arc is the fact that he starts out kind of on the anti-surrogate side of the fence. So that, you know, he wants to go out in the normal world. He wants to do things with his wife on
his own.
So at the end, when it's like,
is he
going to save the surrogate? You know, he's got his finger over the button. Is he going to save him or is he going to let him die? It's like, oh, gee, I wonder what will happen.
Yeah.
Like, what's he going to choose? And it should have been more the kind of thing. If anything, the opposite, where he's very, very pro-surrogate. Like, everyone's safe. There's no danger. And, blah,
and
blah,
the
blah.
Wife is trying to draw him
out.
And the wife is trying to draw him
out. And then he's in a situation where he can't live in his surrogate anymore, which is even scarier because he's so pro-surrogate. And then at the end, he's turned around and he's like, you know what? Living like this is the right way to live. And then it's actually a moment at the end.
Now,
as opposed to whatever the fuck.
Look at that. Another one bites the dust. The something I want to acknowledge in case the writer, and I think this was a comic book first, in case the writer ever hears this, something I want to acknowledge. And this is going to come
there
as
There are significant changes here versus the comic book. I read Wikipedia.
There is a...
there's a comic book?
It's originally a graphic novel.
Good lord.
Kind of a twisted compliment, but it's going to feel like a backhand coming at you at 100 miles an hour. This is almost a genius ripping off movie. I mean, it's really clever in its setup and everything else. I mean, if his intention was to create, out of existing fragments, a viable movie, he came pretty close to nailing it. It's just that it's... Obviously, that. I mean, you can't get away from
it. I don't think we can.
As an exercise in ripping things off, he came up with a new thing.
I don't think we can blame the graphic novelist for the sins of the movie. I mean, reading the differences, there's a whole section on differences. One of the major differences is that the idea that they've got this device that kills people through their surrogates is new for the movie. There was a guy who was going around killing surrogates, but it didn't harm the people behind them.
Do you know if in the comic book it ends with essentially where it ends in the movie?
It ends essentially the same way, but it doesn't end...
Because honestly, I think that's the major problem, is the sense that that should be the either the beginning or the middle of Act 2, and then you really see the ramifications and actual drama.
I think that may be true. I don't know. I mean, it's building to that, and the whole idea is there's like a serial killer going around destroying surrogates, but... he doesn't, you know, in the comic book, he doesn't arrive and decide to let the surrogates die or whatever. He just gets there too late. But when he gets there, he's like, you know, I'm kind of okay with this. You know, he's like, okay, fine. But yeah.
Oh,
here comes our iRobot.
Why do they need screens? They're robots. It's just like, plug in like R2-D2.
I know, that's another thing. It's like, yes, well, they're robots, so they can experience the exciting looking up things online.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like a real human would.
This is an exercise in no imagination.
I mean, it's... Very little. Well, for example, it's like, okay, they talk about another way to approach it. Okay, they're cops, right? Why wouldn't the cops have... You know, simplified surrogates like that loner thing that they had all over town. So if you needed to get across town, you just activate that surrogate that's across town.
That's a great idea.
And arrest somebody.
Well, yeah, but it was also in The Matrix. The agent.
Well, yeah, exactly.
No, it's a movie where
because
we're following
sense.
The agents.
Because it makes
that
sense.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Just saying. I buy it. I think it would improve the movie.
Mm-hmm. Why not be like a big armored RoboCop thing to bring down?
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're going to be tackling other surrogates that are going to be super robots like you are.
And I like that they bother, you know, they're like, oh, he's a bodyguard, right? We'll make him a big, you know, beefy dude. It's like, they got the same fucking pistons in them that you do. You're not any stronger than them just because you look bigger. Not in this world.
This guy should have Ed 209 outside the door.
And it should be the fact that the cops only are that they're the only ones that get to be this certain type of model that can kick everybody else's ass.
Right.
This movie
you've got questions about, like, you know, police
fascism,
states
and
all that stuff.
Hey,
yeah,
geez,
this
boy.
Movie, the more I think about it, and this conversation we're having right now, it kind of harkens back to what we've said before, where sci-fi isn't the future. Sci-fi is what's going on now, but in a distant enough place that you can kind of separate yourself from it and kind of look at it from a new angle. This movie really doesn't deal in themes very much.
No, not at all.
It's straight up. Yeah. It doesn't deal
it
with...
It really strenuously tries to avoid talking
about anything.
Kind of theme. Yeah.
It's... I mean, it seems like the one that you could go with most easily from the script that they used would be one of identity and dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
But or it could be one that has to do with societies falling apart and why do they need the surrogates and what's the difference between now and us. And this movie doesn't examine fucking anything. It's just a little cop drama and not a really inventive one.
Yeah.
It's sort of sad. I feel like I'm picking on surrogates. I never thought I would feel that way.
Who would have guessed that this was going to turn into a punching fest when we came to do surrogates?
We've come to bury surrogates, not to praise them.
I feel like surrogates is this little like toddler of a sci-fi movie that's like, I made me too.
It is. It's so cute.
Put me on the fridge.
It's like
tugging at our pockets and we're kneeing into the face.
It's sort of like they took the beginning of a germ of a good idea.
I occasionally want to do that with little kids just because they're right at that level. Like there's no effort involved. They're just running around. I'm like, I could just put my hand out and he would take himself out. It would not be...
Just
when kids are running around, when
they're
running around at the mall, I don't hate kids, but it's just sometimes I'm like, you're just asking for it.
Physics are too simple.
Exactly.
Note to self, don't have Dorkman watch the kids.
Dorkman wants to clothesline your baby on the face.
Yeah, exactly, just to see what would happen.
I know what would happen. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, which takes the fun out of it, because there's no challenge. Like you said, I was going to say, it's like they took this like beginning of a germ of a concept and then turned it over to whatever 8,000 weirdos actually cobbled this thing together, you know, who just had no idea about anything other than a trailer moment. Talk about a movie that, you know, is made of trailer moments.
This literally
is that movie where it literally is a trailer that needed to be padded out to almost 90 minutes long. But the whole idea of it's sort of the equivalent of a really interesting, you know, sci-fi TV show that does, and they're actually Adam and Eve, and it was Earth all along. It's like, wasn't that clever? No, that it was kind of old.
It was in 1946.
Yeah, it was
not
kind,
anymore.
It was kind of old when they did it on Twilight Zone. It was a little hairy by then.
Okay, as we will discover later, that moment makes no sense.
Which was what?
What moment?
Him crying about being responsible for his son's death, because it's like, but you're the guy who invented the thing. And sent it out to go after you to alleviate suspicion of the fact that you were behind the thing.
See
so
what
you
I
totally
mean when
knew
I say
that
sounds like an 8-year-old?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So it's like that doesn't make, but we'll come. But yeah,
I will have to admit that when I watched this movie, I didn't even bother to try and piece together the mystery of what the hell they're figuring out.
I did like
why
the bit,
anyone did anything.
I did like kind of the clever bit, like almost playing with the idea when of I, like he just got he's just like it's like being on the phone with someone almost. They can just shut down and refuse to talk to you, and literally there's nothing you can do because they're gone.
Yeah. You just like smack their mannequin around.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hey.
I didn't set out to solve the mystery either, but the second Ving Rhames and his dreadlocks came on and started talking about anti-surrogism, I was like, surrogate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Surrogate.
Sigh. Yeah, it would have been nice if they had done the okie doke on that, where
eyes
know,
in a bag,
set it up, and then not had that be the case. Wouldn't that have been something? I just like the fact that they did hire every smooth, perfect actor in the world to be in this movie.
Oh, and fortunately, they didn't even probably have to audition them because it's like, oh, you're bad? That's okay. You're a robot.
You're fine.
Yeah. It's okay if you can't quite say a line. It works.
Yeah.
That's how Keanu Reeves got Neo.
It must suck for the
actors. You're a robot. Though. Oh, wait. Sorry. That was Hugo Weaving. What are we doing? What movie are we making? That's what happened on The Matrix.
By the way, hell of an As You Know scene going on
right
now.
Oh,
yeah. It must suck for the actors, though. Like, yeah, I'm finally in a feature, you know, studio feature film with Bruce Willis, and, oh, I have to act like a robot? Oh, well, that one's not going on my demo reel.
Oh, I think it would. Just, no one can recognize
it. This is the only good scene, but I'm like, where the fuck is this coming from this early in the movie, you know? Because I... You know, again, there's no arc. There's no reason for him to say that. If he says that at the end of the movie, awesome, because you can just cheer him on and be like, yeah, fuck her.
That's right.
You don't know
surrogates.
But
he's talking to a girl, and he's like, I don't know if you're a girl. You could be a fat dude.
Yeah. But, and it just seems unnecessary at this point. I'm like, that's rude.
Yeah.
Well,
what does it accomplish? How does it move the story forward?
Yeah. But then Rhoda Mitchell, very pretty. So there's that.
What are you doing?
Things.
Again, I feel bad. I want to know how many drafts there were.
How do you really?
None.
Like that's
none.
That's just the kind of thing where it's
a
like,
movie that never had a script. That's my theory.
Do you need, you know, just the little things like, do you really need her to say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Isn't that accomplished with the look she gives him?
Yes,
yeah, you would think.
Yes, it is.
You know?
That's something that I think a lot of screenwriters and directors could stand to do a lot more of, which just
that's
look through
funny.
The script and specifically look at any words that you can remove and the thing still makes sense.
Yeah. I love the I was in the can, but what is the point of having an ID card that doesn't match the surrogate? What is the point? He's in some other building.
Yeah.
Why?
So you have a photo that doesn't match what you look like. So how does that work with your ID card? Like, hi, good. Oh, you can go right on through, person who looks nothing like his ID card.
That's really useful, that system there.
Why do they need ID cards if they could just scan the eyeball?
Yeah.
Or something.
Or if they could just scan the serial number or whatever.
This is
supposed
to
be. Here we go. iRobot once again.
Yeah, there you go. They said that a surrogate is already typed to, you know, which Avatar already totally ripped that off. That a surrogate is, you know, matched to the human. So, you know, the surrogate should identify.
But an Avatar only kind of. It's matched to your brother, so it'll work for me.
Yeah. It's messed your genetics or
whatever. This makes sense. You know, this is where at least they thought this one through, that, you know, soldier avatars, pardon the expression, surrogates, pardon me, you know, they don't have to have, like, faces and eyebrows. They're, you know, they're faceless killing machines.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
With camouflage clothing instead of just skin.
Exactly.
Instead of camouflage skin.
Yeah.
The economics of this world are interesting.
But I noticed that they did, you know. They talk about, like, the end of racism and sexism. I noticed they did bother to make a few black military surrogates.
Yeah, that was nice. How come my surrogate can't be black?
I do like that. Again, damn things, like, aren't free.
Why are they?
Yeah, like,
it
reduces
still,
war to...
Why are they still humans? Why aren't they just, like, Ed 209 Robotechs?
Yeah.
Just, you know... Why isn't it Terminator 3?
Yeah, why even be bipedal?
Why are they this form factor? It doesn't make it,
Yeah, well.
You
could get into, you know, what is the point of war if you're just going to be sitting there playing a video game?
Why
don't you just play a Halo tournament? Just play a Halo tournament.
Like Ender's Game.
That's why chess was invented in the goddamn first place.
It's
just cheaper if we do it on a board.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I'm going to go with the assumption. I don't know if they ever touch on it. I don't remember this movie very well. And the details, you know, the exquisite details that they... And the great amount of thought they gave to this world that they were creating for us, but I can't imagine that the entire world is surrogified. I mean, we're probably killing actual humans with our robo soldiers.
Maybe there was an implication that the whole
world,
but yeah, I somehow imagine that somehow we've We're probably still in Afghanistan.
Yeah,
using
exactly.
Those. That's what's going on.
But I like that, just that one line it's basically implying that we've just reduced war to this economic calculation.
Yeah.
Which is what it is in any event.
Yeah.
But just we've managed to purify that idea even more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really afraid that one day in my life I will talk to someone and they'll be like, you know what you should see? Surrogates.
And I'm afraid of that too, just because I'm going to pow, punch. Why are there screens? Why are there screens?
they made eyeballs for it to look at screens with.
Yes, they have gone into a surrogate to make eyeballs for it to look at screens instead of downloading that shit into its
head. This is like in Disclosure, where they make the file structure a VR scenario where you're walking through a library and you pull out the file.
Yes, where instead of like...
Guys, wait. Come back. I got an idea. What if we don't do that whole thing?
Yeah.
And just...
I have this idea for, you know how difficult it is to get a file out of a filing cabinet? What if it cost huge amounts of money and took 10 times as long and lots of computer power? I love it. Let's market that product. That sounds brilliant.
That's my whole thing with multi-touch inputs and stuff like that, because it's like, at the end of the day, that's moving, and I would rather just rest my wrist on the thing and wiggle my hand around and the mouse moves. That's good. Mm-hmm. Until we get something that's less work than that, they're just going to be interesting. That said, asterisk, I do want to edit a movie with a final touch, like Final Cut with multi-touch. So just like ninja a movie together.
I can't wait for Final Cut with a touchpad access on the iPad.
It's that will be the day. They have the iPhone 4 has little Final Cut fake app in it.
It's got iMovie, yeah.
I wonder if that the fat guy behind the monitors is an avatar or not.
Nope, he's about to say it. In fact,
good.
He's the real deal.
Because
I don't know why. I think he clarifies, but it doesn't make sense. Like most of this,
he expresses a belief at some point, but that belief has nothing to do with the theme of the movie because there is no theme.
Here we go.
They've been trying to puppet me for years.
Well, I think. Well, no, that's not why. That's not why. He said
exactly that is not why.
Here's the deal.
I don't think that's the reason.
I think this guy. Well, he said the reason he's not a surrogate. He said they haven't figured out a way to put this puppy in a machine. He taps his head. He's talking about his brain. The reason he's not a surrogate is that he understands that they can be shut down or destroyed at any moment, and he's paranoid about it. He has more info about them than other people do. Maybe that's why.
Oh, that's true. I think you're right. That does come up. This reminds me, actually.
I don't know if it does.
Here's another thing.
I'm just saying.
Here's another thing that reminds me of, and this is more obscure.
Here's another really interesting idea.
Yeah,
you can stop somebody mid-crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really original in a sci-fi action blockbuster.
Yeah.
You can stop a crime mid-crime.
I didn't say original. I said interesting.
It is interesting, and they should play with it more.
Yeah.
In Minority Report.
Huh? Well, yes. No, but this is literally you can freeze, you can paralyze a person remotely. There's an episode of The Outer Limits, the 90s one, that this reminds me of as well, to an extent. Because we were talking about that guy and his brain. I'll go through this real quick, sorry.
Go for it.
Or you go. What were you going to say?
It just occurred to me that with that crime, either she's not a surrogate and that's why they did it, or she is, in which case, what do
they
care?
Who cares? Yeah, that's true.
So one way or another, there's something that needs more explanation.
Maybe that's exactly what they all wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, you never know.
You know, that role
would
playing.
Would you want to be a human prostitute getting hammered by
a
robot?
No, but the point is, if she's not a surrogate...
I'm with it.
If she's not a surrogate, then... Okay, that goes back to your point of like, well, I don't think everybody in this planet
is
surrogates.
But that's also an interesting question of like, so she propositioned herself to surrogates? That's interesting.
And it's a weird exception to have that one example of here's a non-surrogate in the surrogate world.
But if she is a surrogate, then it's just role play.
I guess they're monitoring
like heart rate.
Maybe.
But still, they can't be if she's a human.
If she's scared, then...
But if she's not in actual physical danger, then why?
Then who cares? What I was saying, The Outer Limits is fine. The Outer Limits, because that was a great point. The episode was it was in a future where everyone had kind of like a chip in their head, and they all had like Wi-Fi access basically to this thing called the stream, which was like it was the internet. It was actually kind of probably towards the early days of the internet, and that's what inspired the story.
Mm-hmm.
I like the effect; it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
The idea was that the main character was this guy who couldn't access the stream. Like there was an accident when he was little, so his brain wasn't quite proper to be wired into it. So he had to go about information the old-fashioned way. He had to read books and stuff like that. And so, as far as everyone else was concerned, he was retarded. Basically, he was the retarded guy. And even though compared to like us, he was really smart because he wanted to catch up. So he worked at it really hard. But everyone else, you know, he'd show someone a book. He's like, "Have you read this?" She's like, "No." Yes. Did you have a question? He's like, no, I just I just liked it. What'd you think? She's like, well, I don't know. You know, because it was just information. It's not processing it. It's just
right.
Downloading no appreciation. That. But the whole thing, the whole story was that the I thought that was clever, where it's like, oh shit, log out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Log in.
Yeah.
A virus gets into the stream and it starts basically driving people insane, and he's the only one who can do something about it because he's the only one not on the stream, and so he eventually has to take the stream down, even though it's like taking over people's minds and making them try to stop him, and he has to take it down, and then he's the only one who actually has any information, so he has to teach everyone how to read again and yada yada yada.
Interesting.
So. It's a great, by the way, just a great visual effects sequence that someone worked really hard on, mm-hmm. only to have it be in this movie.
But, didn't even get a nom.
Yeah.
This is
a fun scene. I wish it was in a more interesting movie, but this is a fun scene with this, you know, battered surrogate still chasing.
Yeah,
because
they're like, fuck it.
This is a story where they turn
where's my gun?
Now we've got Terminator.
Yep,
totally got Terminator.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. This is a story where they took reality and changed just one thing.
Yeah, there was a nice little visual joke there where he actually stepped on his own arm to remove the gun from his own hand, which is a kind of an action movie cliche that they did a little thing with. It was nice. That's Jack Noseworthy, by the way, and
from Event Horizon.
From Event Horizon, he's in also in U571. So I think he's a Mostow, regular.
How could you?
He's also in Something About Mary, I do believe.
Oh, so now they can just jump as far as they want
if he feels like it. Which is like, why isn't he doing that all the time? Then why doesn't he travel like the Hulk? Just boing boing boing. You know,
or like
I would.
The big chicken
and again,
monster.
Why doesn't everybody do that?
And this was the other thing is like
it would be chaos.
And this
world of surrogates
and
would be
dogs and cats
anarchy.
living together, mass hysteria.
And this again, right here, this whole sequence, while you know, visually fun and exciting and whatever, also brings up the whole. Wait a minute. So people who don't have surrogates live in this like Soweto slum area? Why is do they do that on purpose, or do they just
there was the little prologue, and they do basically create their own little.
So there's like
they self ghetto.
These
themselves.
Are the cultists who you know, but
they want to be sure that there are no. And the only way they can do that is live in a park with a big metal detector.
Which somehow the Prophet has never walked through or made a demonstration of.
Somehow, yeah.
Well, he does control the whole thing.
Well, if he's in charge.
If he's in charge, but you'd think at least at first he would be like, oh, blah, 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 and make a big thing of it. That's what you do when you're a cult leader.
Yeah.
No, I could see, you know, citizen above suspicion.
And if they're going to do the fucking obvious thing where the guy that's anti-surrogates is a surrogate, oh my God, I didn't see it coming. It's a movie.
Ah, your leg broke because you're a person.
It should be a thing where there's
I love that bit. Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Where
that's
jumps
brutal.
He jumps for the eye bar, misses, and his
hand
hits
because why? Like,
hits every bar on the way down.
Yeah, because, and I almost, it would be hysterical.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. But it would be funny and at the same time awesome if he literally, exactly, he's chasing the guy and it's like, because he's jumping from thing to thing, if he just chucked himself, like, he's down there, bang, 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 like he just drops. He's not trying to land on anything, he's just, I gotta get down there as fast as possible, I will let gravity take over because I'll be fine, you know.
If they wanted to infuse an idea into this with the fucking Prophet guy who is a surrogate, oh my God, the third act was the best act of all of them.
Which isn't in the original graphic novel.
Interesting.
The Prophet is not a surrogate.
They might as well have made it more interesting by having what the Prophet was doing was like some sort of like a mass suicide-y type thing where the fact that he's a surrogate makes it like haunting as opposed to, oh, he's a surrogate. Weird. Mm. Where it's something like... he was doing was like trying to eliminate them for some reason.
Sure,
trying
to eliminate the anti-surrogate.
Something.
Sure.
Fucking do something with the idea. Obamination?
Yeah. I do love that. He's like, oh, jeez. Yeah.
Okay.
I know what's coming now.
Which leads to one of the more interesting scenes later, which I thought was just kind of fun, where he goes himself to the compound and sees himself crucified and like hung up like an effigy.
Cool.
You know, that's like another moment that almost works in this movie.
I will say
there's a scary question. If they make a sequel, what will it be?
So we're back in real life, where him is him and no Dutch tangles.
Oh,
so I don't know what the hell's going on.
I don't know what to think now. Yeah, well it'll be surrogates, but the last S will be a 2 or some fucking thing. That's what it'll be.
No, I mean what's left to do?
That's what it is.
What's left to do?
Surrogate and sons.
Yes.
Surrogated.
Surrogated.
The surrogatening.
Surrogation.
Surrogation.
Surrogatin.
Ooh.
See? Ah.
There we go.
Get me a meeting at Touchstone right now. Yeah. I got a pitch.
It's already written, you guys.
Yeah, it's already written. Surmageddon.
How did you guys feel about Bicentennial Man?
I like Bicentennial.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I haven't.
I like the plain Jane version of Radha Mitchell here is fun. Yeah. And this character gets really a short stick in this movie because all she does is, like, you know, be ugly and then get killed. And it's really sad that's her arc.
But that's real life, man. That's most people.
Oh, I see.
Really.
You see, you applaud that because
that's
your
cinema verite.
That's
the existence of most people. They're ugly and then they die.
You've gone really dark since your surgery. You're a really dark person all of a sudden.
Because it's my life, man.
Okay.
Anyway.
I guess now that you've seen your innards exposed, you have this whole concept of mortality.
Oh, man.
Okay, fair enough.
I just realized how this movie happened. I was trying to figure out a way to make it cooler. And I thought, if we're going to go with the thing where the real world, people are just fucking shooting each other, and that's why it's scary when he's out there by himself. If they're after him, what if he just goes out in the real world as a human because they don't have the way of tracking him? But then I realized I just wrote Minority Report. That's how this movie happened.
Well,
but they just didn't care.
But that is kind of his thing. He goes out as a human, and no one knows he's
a
human.
Yeah. Well, I started...
Now, also... I mean, what you were talking about, he's going out into a world where everyone's shooting each other. Alternatively, he goes out into the world, he can go on a shooting spree. Anyone who gets in his way, he can shoot them in the face. And there is no moral ambiguity. You're not in danger of making him a non-hero or the villain or the anti-hero, because they're all fine.
Yeah.
He's just getting them out of his fucking way. Like, it's just, so he could just, anyone who gives him the slightest bit of resistance, just shoot him in the face. And it would be awesome.
Real Dirty Harry style.
Yeah, exactly. But you can still applaud him, because he's like, he's not killing anyone, he's just doing what he's got to do, you know? So... that would have been fun.
Yet another way to explore this idea.
Like, they could have done it in The Matrix if they didn't have that whole justification. Like, if you die in The Matrix, you die.
But which they did anyway.
For some reason.
But they shot up a bunch of... But their justification was there are no innocent bystanders in The Matrix because of the...
Was it?
Because of the
agent. Even if an agent has taken over your corpuscle and you get killed and then you die, even though you didn't actually do a damn thing. It's all just... You know, it makes sense to the Wachowski brothers, apparently.
Yeah,
which is really sketchy morality as far as I'm concerned, but fine.
If Bruce Willis could just turn his head over, he would have hair again.
What?
Put the goatee on the top.
Oh,
so he's like that little magnet guy with the iron filings. Right.
I wanted to get a tattoo that was the blank iron face guy, and then just every day with a Sharpie marker, just give him a new haircut.
And you haven't done that
because...
I think
that's done before.
No, I think I told you about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've had that idea forever. Yeah, I haven't seen
it before. We're back to the Dutch angles.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah.
This movie is The Fountain.
I think Jonathan Mostow is Dutch, isn't he? Is he not?
I don't know.
That's what they call him.
Mostow, that's a Dutch name.
Yeah.
Look at that knee. Or is it?
It's a surrogate knee. Wait, what?
I was going to say it's a Little Mermaid penis, but...
Ah.
Everyone sees what I did there.
Yes.
So let's talk about what's good. The effects,
why do they
usually
still have
pretty
hospitals?
Good.
Wait a second.
Because heart disease and like blood clots must have gone through the roof because everyone spends all day lying on a couch.
Yeah.
What's good about this? Effects are all right. I don't like the photography or the color correction.
No, this is straight up.
It's bland.
Yeah.
With everything else,
it's very weird. Yeah.
It's a straight up. It's orange and cyan, and they're like, let's click the button and we're done.
Yeah, call it a day.
If someone had made this for $10,000, it would have been kind of impressive.
Oh, sure. If someone made it for $10,000, it'd
be like
well,
oh, cool. Well, you know, whatever.
Okay. I mean, look at the passes we give fucking Primer. Because, Primer, or however you pronounce it.
Another missed opportunity. If you're lying in your deathbed in a hospital bed, you could be hang gliding. I mean, why are you lying? Oh, I'm dying. You know, you could be climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you want to go out. That's like Soylent Green, but, you know, one better.
All right, so now he's left and he's himself. Why would the hospital... So why is this a big deal at all? Because it's a hospital for humans and they have a front door.
Yeah. Right.
So humans must come and go from this building.
So many times a day.
There's an ambulance. What is the ambulance for if not to bring a human into the building?
They should have like mech suits.
Now, as soon as she said that, you look a lot like your synths. Like, whoa. That would imply that you don't, if you are surprised by that.
Well, the implication is they have never actually met in person.
Right,
that's what it means. So.
Now, I do like this bit a little bit. Obviously, they can push it more, like so many other things. Nice fisheye there, subtle fisheye effect. But the idea of being out and being like, oh, shit, I can actually die now for no good reason.
Yeah. I'm walking around with these freaking robots.
Yeah, I'm walking around with a bunch of robots that don't have the sense to be careful around me, who is fragile.
And there are 2-ton pieces of metal that are driving by.
Right.
That are similarly driven by robots that can't be harmed.
So, I mean, it's a clever bit that they...
That scene is it. Yeah.
Now we're done.
It's not connected to any larger piece of arc, trajectory.
There's like Mandarin writing on the window.
Yes.
Well, why?
Because they're in Chinatown.
Oh, yeah. Good. I was going to say, are they doing something clever and making it like a Firefly? They've merged China and America?
No, it's just the kind of... It's called Wooz.
Actually, I believe it's not even Chinatown. It's just a Japanese, I believe, electronics store.
Yeah, this place looks
like the camera stores you'd find in Times Square. I think that's
It looks a lot like Oz, too. Or you know, not Oz. The other one, Spencer's.
Oh.
Where it's like... You know, there's the front that has slinkies and stuff, and then there's the sex toys.
Yeah.
Towards the back, that's basically what this place is.
Now, here's another, you know, partial exploration of a fun idea. This whole idea of, you know, a rental, you know, or a cut rate surrogate.
You want other senses there extra.
That's how Casper Van Dien is in life. It comes with vision and hearing. If you want other senses, you have to pay for them.
They really made this guy like they got a real life Ken doll to be.
I love
this,
that they can turn it around in an hour. It's like lens crafters.
It's like getting your passport photo taken.
Yeah, exactly. They can scan your head and make you one. It's an hour. It's while you wait. Really.
It's like cutting up a key.
We can put you, like you were saying, it's like we can put you in a hang gliding one for a while while we do it, just for fun. And now I don't know why he's like, we're done here. It's like, why? He was.
What precipitated this change in philosophy?
Yeah, he was being very helpful.
Yeah,
and I think he was a bit
freaked
rude.
Out by having to be a human on the street, but he doesn't want to not. He wants his own surrogate, or what the hell?
But he just said he could have his own surrogate. He just explained he could have it in an hour or less.
And they just said that
a surrogate has to
be matched to your type. But apparently, you can buy them off the rack. So yeah.
Yeah, wait a second.
Yeah. Whoa.
So wait, what? Again, it's a bunch of pages from a various number of scripts that weren't actually originally one script to begin with. That's what I think.
Unless how do loners work if it has to?
Unless I miss some subtle detail.
Unless you can reset them like a hotel key card.
Well, yeah, or maybe it's about how fully you can integrate with one. I'll give him a pass on maybe
okay,
that.
Sure.
This is an airtight security system. If a freaking robot wants to crash this place,
yeah,
you know,
you robot? No. Well, all right then.
Yeah.
By the way, if they can just
you
do
promise,
if they can just do Hulk jumps, why not just they could jump in? What's the point of the X-ray machine?
That's true.
Yeah. If they can just fall,
that's
and
how
not
he
die,
got in there almost.
If they could just fall and not die, why not just hop in off a helicopter?
Just walk in and punch the guy in
there
the head.
There we go.
And, you know, rip his brain out. But see, that's a nice moment. I like that. You know, that's like a fun image in a movie. You know, they actually found a moment to actually exploit in this concept. Oh, it seems to something terrible seems to have befallen Mr. Noseworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Return of the Jedi,
he's like in every movie for like 3 seconds. He was in Event Horizon and then died, and then
he made it through U-571.
Did he? Sorry, go ahead, T.
Because of Return of the Jedi, I always thought that's how cremations worked. Just put them on some sticks, light it up.
Well, that is.
Fucking let's do it. But I thought that was how it was done, like, now. Like,
oh
if my
God,
when my mom
if it was
died,
still ritualistic
when my,
and shit.
When my grandma died, I was, like, 10.
You thought they just...
And my dad's like, we're going to have her cremated. And I was like, oh, no.
In the backyard or what?
That's exactly what I thought it would.
I want a Viking funeral, I do. I want to be put in a boat and put it out
there
in the middle
go.
Of a lake and someone shoots a flaming arrow at it. That's okay. How I want to go.
If I'm not
a surrogate by then.
Yeah.
Is that how they did your surgery?
Singularity hasn't
come
yet.
Well, yeah, once you download my brain into the computer, then you can do that to my body.
Exactly. Oh, no,
well,
then I'm going to do that to my body.
Yeah. Huh?
You heard me.
Okay.
I had a point and don't stop me dead in my tracks.
Yeah.
Completely
anyway.
Lost it.
Well.
Oh, and here we have the completely generic pablum about the meaning of life and what it means to be human.
Wouldn't you be afraid to look exactly like your surrogate in the place where they just hung your surrogate because they're going to know who you are
exactly. Because
you look like your surrogate and they just killed him?
Well, it's not like he...
No, but they'd probably be a little cooler about it since it's like, oh, well, you're a person, so you're fine. Yeah.
And he's not a robot, so, you know, technically he's allowed.
And it's not like he could get another surrogate that looks exactly like him in an hour, so...
Yeah.
Yes.
They wouldn't mistake him for just another surrogate. Oh,
apparently in the apparently in the book, the way that you get in, as opposed to being like, "Hey, you cool?"
You're not a robot, right?
Is they actually cut open your hand? They cut your palm to make you bleed, and if you bleed, then you're a human.
Well, fuck! I could put a blood packet in my robo hand. I thought it would just be like you have to walk through the EMP to get in.
Yeah. What if you were an endoskeleton surrounded by living tissue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking that.
Polymimetic alloy.
Didn't think of
what
that.
What about that?
Yeah, see, you still can't catch a break.
See, this is why I would not want to look like Bruce Willis when they just hung me.
Yeah.
So they did.
Shut up, asshole. You're a surrogate.
They did recognize him.
Yeah.
But not only is a surrogate, but he's got the worst Brillo pad beard I've seen in movie history, quite frankly. And it just totally changed. That's not the same beard he had 4 seconds ago in this movie.
I do kind of love the fact that, I mean, it's been a little annoying because it's completely, like you said, it's like, as you know, or straight up, like, they're speaking the subtext type of thing.
Yeah.
But I almost think it works in this scene because Bruce Willis, he's not pussyfooting around. He's like, just tell me what I want to know. Let's not dick around. Yeah. I'm just going to ask you the question straight
Please,
up.
Please, can we get to the end of this fucking movie?
I'm just going to ask you the question like I have no tact or sense as a police officer and expect you to answer openly.
Want to know what the great gift of surrogates is? We are 47 minutes in, over halfway.
Ugh. Nice.
Woo!
Party on.
I honestly would have said we were further along.
Yeah.
That's why I hate shag carpet. You never know what people are hiding underneath there.
That's why we invented it.
Did you mean that to be that gross?
Oh, my.
Or maybe I just have a sick mind.
I don't even know what was gross.
Because carpet is like pubes.
To Brian, apparently. See, it was the word shag.
You're fun on Cody.
Yeah. I like this. This is fun, too. The fact that this guy basically goes undercover as a 5-year-old. I do enjoy that.
But they start to...
Idea comes through, it's almost cool.
At this point in the movie, they start to explore... What starts to get interesting is when people start hopping into each other's surrogates and driving each other's surrogates around, where Bruce Willis is Radha Mitchell for the rest of the movie. You know, that's almost a fun idea that they kind of start to explore.
Oh, as you know, moment. Your child is dead.
By the way,
as you know, your son is.
Did
dead.
You did? Yeah.
Did you know?
Did you know? Because
that is a major part of your character.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is something that affects your everyday life: the fact that your son is dead.
This, I'll say. I mean, you know, they get away with it because they're supposed to be robots too. But this kid does a credible job of pulling off. I'm an adult.
He's
in a
not
child
bad.
Body.
Yeah. He's not bad. In this movie, the nature of this movie is anytime anyone does a credible job of anything, we do have to point it out.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, to that, I mean, when he was first, Bruce Willis was first stumbling around when his surrogate had just been destroyed, I was thinking, he is not phoning this in. He's trying.
Yeah.
He showed up and he's doing his job.
Bruce Willis is you know, let's take a moment and we'll sing a little praise here. I think Bruce Willis is just really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just good.
And, I agree.
He's good at this, and he makes the same kind of movies over and over a lot, but that's because he's really good at them.
And he, you know, like we said, he doesn't phone it in. He really just buys into it and does his best to make us buy into it too.
So there we just had another hint of the full potential in that poster behind him.
Football
with a guy holding a ripped off surrogate head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is football like in surrogate world?
Yeah.
And what is the point of it?
Oh, jeez. You know? This is a fun idea, but the scene goes on too long.
More Dutch angling, by the way.
What effect is this having on the user?
Well,
does it feel like getting an electric shock?
Presumably.
And why do you even have to do it? Why can't you just go, do that thing to me? You know, bink, ah.
Yeah. Presumably, like, is this a drug? Is this just...
Can't be a drug.
Well,
it has to be a sensory input.
That's true. That's true. Does it have the effect?
The metaphor, the metaphor is all they're going for. It's clearly pot or ecstasy. Or
But since, generic. Again, all it's doing is affecting the interface between you and your surrogate, why can't you just have that be a program you can run?
Like,
I'm going to feel that feeling.
You know what would be awesome in this universe? Theme parks.
Because it's a weird thing. Smeg. The fact that the refrigerator is made by Smeg. which is like, strangely enough, I can only help think that for whatever reason they're making a Red Dwarf reference, which, where's that coming from? Unless there's some other reason, but...
Theme parks would be just a bunch of trebuchets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Fling!
That'd be awesome.
How long have you been jacking? Who cares? Yeah. It's a robot. It's like asking how long I've been, you know, painting flames on my car. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
I didn't think you were going to pull that metaphor out.
It's like the problem is the addiction that she has is that she's addicted to being a robot.
Yeah.
What does it matter what you're addicted to do when you're you are the robot?
Exactly.
The problem is that she is a robot. That's the addiction to deal with.
Yeah. This is fun, although insane. But fun.
It's nice.
But again, it's not really explained where it's coming from. And the fact that they're all just terribly amused by it. Because it's like, yeah, fuck it.
Wait
Let
a second.
Break his hand or whatever.
Okay, wait. Surrogates? Were they having sex with a prostitute? They were having sex. Surrogates were having sex.
When?
That means they must have...
The rape thing.
The
rape thing.
Or they were just killing her for thrills or whatever they're doing. So
there's got to be a sensory input going into the brain, because there sure as shit in those little chairs isn't like a little thingy that connects to your dick and makes it feel good when you're having sex with your surrogate. So there must be some sort of a brainy thing that's connecting you to like weird senses, not just touch, taste, feel, and all that stuff.
Well, sex is a touch thing.
But they're...
Come on.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Sex is not a sixth sense. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. It is one of five.
Still all five. So presumably they're just, again...
So it's simulating the...
All the sensations are being plugged into your brain as if you were having them. So. All right. So where are you going with that theory?
Well, I was going to... I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what my life is all about. I don't know.
What does it mean to be human?
See, again, but
tell me, Jonathan Mostow.
But then there's the next logical step. It's like, okay, so we have devices that can play back sensory input as if you're having an experience. What do you need the robot for?
Exactly.
You know, now we're into brainstorm.
Right.
You know, now we're into brainstorm. It's like, well, just play back the experience or Strange Days.
Right.
Just play back the experience. Why do you have to go do it with a robot to begin
or
with?
Just
record it.
My whole thing when I watched this, I was like, why bother with the robots? Why not just take the next step to the Matrix?
Yeah.
Why go outside at all?
Exactly.
It comes to the same thing.
Everything can be VR.
Yeah.
How would you know?
So to speak.
Yeah.
This would be a cool book if you just separate the experience of existing and you exist inside a network type thing.
Hardcore Dutch angle there.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a thing? Speaking of
that, was practically a Finnish.
Wasn't there a thing where they like plugged an electrode into the a gerbil's brain or something, where it's like the orgasms center, and they gave him like a button that he could hit and create it, and the thing just started wailing on the fucking like crazy.
And that's one of the
did it like 1,000 times a day or
that's
something.
One of the plot points of Brainstorm is a guy just he records someone having an orgasm and he puts on a loop and just blows his brain out because he just has an orgasm over and over again for days.
They did recently, like very recently, in the last couple of weeks, announced that they had, I think it was a cockroach, but it might have been a mouse. They put electrodes in its brain and could steer the mouse.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember a thing like that. I think it was the mouse because it's this giant. It looks like the Matrix, like Spike, but in a mouse, like, and not scaled down either. It's like the mouse and this giant thing coming out the back of its head.
So I'm gonna spitball this whole thing.
So maybe they're not steering. Maybe they're just pushing the stick.
That was.
I'm gonna spitball.
They're just puppeteering it.
I'm gonna spitball a pitch here.
Okay, go.
So what if the whole premise of the Matrix started as surrogates, and the idea is that the machines only took over because the humans were just all sitting at home with their eyes closed. The machine said, well, we might as well, you know, make this a little more structured and basically just, you know, and we'll eliminate the real world from the whole equation because that's messy, and just like gradually just plugged everyone into VR and put them in pods, and now they never wake up and they just never realized it. What if that was the
interesting
setup for
as good as anything
this
else.
Is a prequel.
Yeah. It still doesn't make sense as even in that larger world. This is an intermediate step. It still doesn't really make sense, much less as its own state of reality entirely on its own.
And again, he has to fast forward and watch the screen as opposed to plugging his finger into the USB jack.
Yeah. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
It's an odd-looking guy.
Yeah.
And this is the end for Rudimental.
You know, we should be able to say that about just about anything. That is an odd-looking blank because they're robots.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Brian?
Hmm.
There's one of those? Why is there one of those? The remote operator bypass.
Yes.
Brian, if you could have a surrogate, but you didn't have to have it be a human, what would your surrogate be? Would you just be like Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt is a human, I'd like to point out real quick.
If you didn't have,
he may not seem like it.
I mean, would you stay with the standard good-looking human thing, or would you do something crazy?
Well, can I change it up? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah, you could be an Ewok if you want.
I mean, could nice. I, if I were to
no,
be an
one.
Ewok.
One for the rest of your life.
One for the rest of
I
my
would
life.
Be a pterodactyl.
That's cool. If you could actually fly, then sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a question of if you could be any animal.
If you could be anything.
Yeah.
I would be a piano on
anything.
Wheels.
I'd probably be
Irma.
I'd probably be a pelican. Okay. Be some kind of large
gliding
seabird.
I'd be Lightning McQueen. I'd like to be a fully-sized, full-sized version of Lightning. But you have, like, big eyeballs and, you know, be able to talk and stuff like that.
Nifty.
You know, not like a Transformer. I'd like to be, like, you know, a big cartoon car. I'd like, you know, Benny the Cab from Roger Rabbit.
I wanted someone to say, I would be a diner. What?
Yeah, I'd be a fire hydrant. Don't ask. But
are there still dogs? I would be a fire hydrant.
And I'm just looking for the person who wants to be a dog. So,
Craig's list.
You know that would happen. That would happen. Yeah. That's what happened. That was this world. Extrapolate.
Yeah, this world has Rule 65.
Exactly.
If it exists, someone is a surrogate of it to have sex.
To make a fetish.
To get
out
off on it. Yeah. There's a surrogate fetish. They've done a couple of those for no good reason, the deep focus shots. And it's always just like a reaction shot or whatever. It's never a thing.
As you know, you called for us to come here.
Yes. And why is Ving talking very seriously like this?
Because the movie... Mostow is like, this is a 78-page script. Yeah. Talk slow.
Also, this is a really important scene. And
this is key to the arc.
We have determined... that
it was slowed down in post.
By this point, if the audience was not retarded to begin with, we have successfully damaged their brain enough that they're going to need this slowly described to them.
So you see what happens.
No.
I keep thinking are there
Patricia files?
Arquette.
Yes, really, there are actual paper files.
Now, I remember this shot was
this is cool.
Obviously reversed in the trailer, just to make a thing of it. And that's Mars Attacks.
Totally Mars Attacks. Yeah, that's very nice.
And Bicentennial Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That looks like Michael J. Fox as his daughter.
Totally did.
Dad, it's for you. It's Needles.
So embarrassing. He showed up as a human.
Mm. But he's so ruggedly handsome. I can't believe... There's no way that ruggedly handsome still doesn't work.
Yeah.
I know. It's like... Yeah, with everyone being all smooth and stuff, I mean, he'd be like a chick magnet, and they're actually metallic chicks. So being a chick magnet would really mean something.
And here's another thing: if they're going to start like saying you have to be human and you have to be like of a recognizable frame and size and stature and color, how do people, if they want to be a tall surrogate, because there's only a certain number of those in reality, would they like limit you? So it's like we've already got our 20,000 guys that are taller than 7'3", so you can't be one of them until one of them dies. Like. Are you limited you're not limited to what you look like, because that's something we've already established.
Everyone kills Hitler their first trip. Yeah. So it's like everyone wants to be a pterodactyl the first time. Someone has to drive the bus. Pterodactyls can't be driving the buses, so you wait your turn.
I would
for a
be the bus.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, could I just be the bus then? My friend's a cab.
Yes. Yeah, my friend's a diner. I'll just go back and forth from here to
and then
my diner.
And then in Surrogate World, you come around the corner and you'd see like a truck humping a bus. Yeah. Oh my God. How are they even doing that?
I saw a BBC special about guys that like that shit.
Was it a Family Guy joke where it's like the car that just got painted pink, so the blue car is like coming onto it, and the pink car is like, no, Frank, it's me, it's Jerry, they just painted me. And they're like, oh God.
It sounds like a Family Guy
joke. It sounds
joke.
Like it. I don't remember that.
I think it is.
I think I would occasionally.
You should write it into one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would occasionally, if I could switch up my surrogates, I would occasionally go around and just have like wounds and stuff. Like I just got the shit kicked out of me. just to look like a badass.
What about midgets?
You know,
there's only a certain number of midgets. If I want to be a midget.
Is this how that you take your coffee breaks? Do you just, I'm going to take my coffee break. Boom. Yeah, just in the middle of, and you get up and actually take coffee.
Gotta pee.
Yeah.
Just guy standing there. Jerry? I'm back.
She's been beaten around the face and neck. Is that?
There was a car accident or something. She made a thing about it, and like that's how their kid died or some shit. She just explained but who cares?
But it didn't. What did it happen like a week ago? Or?
Chinooks.
Yeah.
They're cool.
They are cool. You see them flying around LA every now and then. Actually,
I saw one at Long Beach.
Uh-oh.
Wow, heavy duty. Cool. Fuck! It's like a man. It's huge.
It's
awesome.
It's a yeah.
The coolest thing in this movie has been the real hardware.
Yeah.
Michael Bay shot that.
He totally did.
Oh, no, but that's not an anamorphic flare. So, yeah. No, he didn't. He didn't shoot this, guys.
That's a... what?
This should be a Michael Bay movie.
It's trying.
Right now it's trying to be.
The Island. There you go. There's another one.
Ah, yeah.
Parts, the Clonus Horror.
Nice.
Why are they people? Why aren't they the...
Yeah, exactly. Why are they...
Because
they
couldn't
get
in.
Huh?
Because they couldn't get in.
Yeah.
They weren't...
No, but they flew in.
Are they people, though?
They are people, yeah. They're getting wounded and stuff by conventional weapons. Is it because they think that these people have the thing that zaps?
Oh, that's right. So
hey,
we
something actually made sense for a second there.
So, but shouldn't these soldiers be terrified?
Oh my
for their
god!
Lives?
Yes, they should be much more scared.
Whoa! Ving Rhames is a surrogate.
What? Oh my god! This is a plot point of some kind.
What could be happening? Do they just straight up reveal it?
I think we're about
now?
To have a huge reveal. Yes, they milk this for none of what it's worth.
Yeah. And he cackles away like a... Look, oh, he was, and now he's not.
It's that same guy from iRobot playing the same part. I regret what I have created, and I need someone else to shut it down for
me. He's sabotaging his own creation? How ironic.
Whoa. That's some freaky shit, man.
You know, God did that. Noah's Ark. Look it up.
A lot of things in the Old Testament.
Fuck it. Flood.
I created it like this, but I'm going to do it with natural disasters because that's more fun.
That's right. Somehow these are rules.
Makes it
for
harder
myself.
To track what was done by someone that was trying and what was just a lot of rain.
Because otherwise, I'd be if everything just disappeared, I'd be suspect number one. I want it to be ambiguous. So
something else that was interesting I read at the Great Flood. Obviously, this is all in like Mesopotamia, which is a big fucking valley. So it wasn't like a worldwide flood. It was like your 2 mile thing got some water.
No, it's a it's the Black Sea theory, which I think is a genius theory and a great thing to look into.
Well, please look into it because this is fucking still going.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's the thing is at the time, what flooded was the entire known world.
Yeah.
And just as we spread, we kept that story going, and as the world got larger, so did the flood.
As far as they understood, the entire world flooded for no particular reason, and they the diaspora that happened afterwards, everyone went everywhere, and that's why all proto civilizations have a flood myth because. Mm-hmm. In the cradle of humanity, we had one. Anyway, look it up. Black Sea flooding, post-Ice Age. Awesome theory. So, yeah, people, back to this, you know, this makes perfect sense. I have a highly sophisticated robot clone of myself, which I use to sit in a cubicle.
I have an office
work. What?
Well, the cubicle is a surrogate, so it's kind of a sexual thing.
Oh, I see. So somehow you're also hang gliding while you're...
Well, it's for the cubicle fetish section of humanity.
This is a clever little thing, even though, I mean, this character's hardly set up at all, but they tried a red herring.
Clever.
Ooh, nasty.
There we go. Start shooting people in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go nuts.
Sorry.
That's
racist!
The whole idea of him being scared to be his real self out and about in public is now completely gone.
Oh, yeah. It's out of the picture entirely.
And never was really resolved in any way to begin with.
Do you think this started
Why do they have phones?
Do you think this started like our forum?
Why do they have phones?
Why does he have a coffee mug?
Yeah.
Wait a second. What is that for?
Do you think this movie started like
so
our forum thread?
Do surrogates have to excrete, or does that get taken care of when you put them in their charger? Or what? Mm. What does that work?
I mean, he's pouring coffee into a surrogate.
Presumably.
Or just pretending.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
No, the cup has a little hole at the bottom of it, so it just goes into the walls of the cup.
Yeah.
That's some awesome old age
makeup. That is some really good. And awesome old age acting as well.
I am so old.
I grew into the catty black man.
Previously,
I was.
Everyone has some kind of like neurological defect, which you very well might actually, if you spent all your time doing this.
I think it's the building in Glendale. That's like it's this weird. The four pillars actually like tuck in under the building, and the actual footprint of the part where the building touches the ground is insanely small for the size of the building. You look at it and you go, I do not want to be anywhere near that thing when there's an earthquake.
Or when a heavy wind comes by.
Or Kirstie Alley is there and gets hungry and starts chewing on the bottom.
Like you're disappointed.
I'm not proud of my joke.
Wow.
we're getting to that Tron point with surrogates.
No. This we reached the Tron point much earlier.
This is pretty nerdy.
That was smart.
Nice little moment there.
I like the car crash.
Because she's like, fuck it, I'll be fine.
So look at that. They're starting to extrapolate possibilities from this world, finally.
Dun, dun, dun.
But again, if that were the first 5 minutes, that would be awesome.
That's right. Well, this is the setup for a really good movie. Let's not forget. This is the beginning.
Agreeing with what you're saying.
It's like, this is a thought exercise. What if starting right about there was the first 10 minutes of a movie? So it's like Bruce Willis is all scratched up, and this happens, and there's this girl, and this is happening.
Ultraviolet, right here.
Ultraviolet. Ooh. They totally took someone's surrogate out there.
Especially her jumping around.
But if, like, as opposed to watching a guy drive in a car and, you know, make out with a woman in an alley, what if this was the first 10 minutes of a movie?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what if the end of Terminator 3 was the beginning of Terminator 3. I mean, Mostow has a problem with this. He has, like, the opposite of going to the mansion. He has, like, I don't know.
I love that.
This is a fun idea. Just stacking them up. Which, again, the one problem I have with it is like, okay, so clearly what no one is real ever anywhere. That you can feel like you can safely do this. There are no real humans ever walking the street. And how does that work? How does that happen? That means that someone is using a surrogate right now to unclog a drain somewhere. Yep. That there are no real people anywhere.
And according to the rules, they have tools. It's not like their hand is a Roto-Rooter thing, which you would think if that was going to be their profession or whatever.
Being a stunt driver would be pretty fun.
See, there was a thing like with mannequins that was making a statement there.
You know what they ripped off? That Gap ad.
That's Michelle
Gondry. Was it Gondry or Spike Jones?
Jones,
okay. Where everyone just destroys the Gap for no good reason.
Wouldn't you? If I was a pterodactyl, I would just take it.
Yet a further question.
This is smart. I do like this.
Yeah. Since they already established that the guy who I could have played back at headquarters can shut down felonies in progress, why are there cops at all? If there's no real humans on the street, what do cops do all day? What are they doing?
And why don't they just have those little hats with the spinny, the blue light on them.
And run really fast and have
wheels.
Exactly.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah. That's the very cheap William Fichtner.
Yeah. Yes. There's a poor man's William Fichtner there.
Uh-oh.
Agent Peters has been hijacked.
Oh, see, that was actually a clever little moment there.
Yeah. Have you gone insane? He just told you that Peters is not Peters.
Well, he's doing it specifically to tell Bruce Willis.
He's giving a clue. And then this proceeds to, like, boy, talk about having to justify a thing. Where he's holding, well, there is a way to disconnect everyone's surrogate, but not really. So then you can disconnect the surrogates, but everyone will be okay, even though they get zapped. So it's like, wow, you had to really pull that one out of your ass in the last 5 minutes of the movie to explain that ending that justifies that trailer shot.
And it's a straight up Deus Ex Machina too. It's like, oh no, there's a problem. Everyone will die. Oh
except
no,
there's
be
a
fine.
Way to
no, no, no,
not,
fine.
There's a way to not do that. If you just ask the fat guy, he could have told you that you could make it so that doesn't happen.
I do like that. His fucking head is still open and dripping gross things.
That's what you need the scene at the beginning to say all of that shit.
Yeah,
it's a boring exposition scene, but it's there and you forget about it.
Yeah,
and then the end of the movie comes and goes. Oh right, do you remember? That's awesome.
This feels like it's gonna turn into Resident Evil. The little hallway with the lasers. Am I the only one who saw Resident Evil in this room?
No, I saw the first one, yeah.
Yeah, the hallway with the lasers that cuts up the black guy.
That freaked me out.
That's a scary scene. That's a scary scene because it's like there is nothing you can do.
Yeah. And the way, I mean, it raises the stakes in a very clear way. It's like, oh, there's the one laser, which if they had known it was coming, they could have done something about it.
Right.
But then the next one comes like, there's nothing you can
do. Yeah, then it's a cheese grater and you're like, oh, it's over. What? There's plot.
Something's going on here. Someone's
two robots. Oh, right. He's figured it out.
Yeah, two robots who can't die, except the only jeopardy is like the fat dude. He's an actual human who could get killed.
Yeah.
And I've come to care about him so much because of his vast involvement in this movie.
Yeah, and it's not really clear what the doctor's problem is and why he wants to destroy surrogates and why he's killing people to do it. That's the real problem. He's like, I want everyone to live, so I'm going to kill people. Good performance right there.
No.
They're going to play that at his Oscar. his Lifetime Achievement Award.
Exactly. No.
Oh, I hate it when you shoot me with the gun.
Yeah, so that old guy with the beard is probably dead in his couch back at home.
What? You did this. What are you talking about? He didn't do that.
Nasty.
Or did he? I'm confused.
And why do we still have to pan from the screen over to the dead face? That's like the third or fourth person we've seen.
Yeah. I know how that works.
Just cut to the guy's fucking face
already. Or we could just assume that's what happened.
And this whole system, it's like, I'm sorry, it's just like, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but the whole Star Trek thing where it's like when the ship gets hit and takes damage, people's actual panels explode.
Right.
Just like with this. It's like two words, Star Trek people. Fuses. I'm going to tell you about a concept called fuses that we have in the 20th century.
That's one word, Trey.
Fuses.
No, he said two words. He said fuses, people.
Yeah. Oh.
Nice, nice save, though.
Yeah, as opposed to lots of zs, fuses.
Fuse. Fuse.
Not very many zs.
Yeah.
Few.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and now a thing is happening here with something, with Bruce Willis in a room.
You guys want to get pizza after this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Totally.
I can now. My stomach's fixed.
Mm. Even though you have a hole in it?
I do.
Like that cow?
Yeah. Pizza's yeah, just going to come right out.
If you eat something, does it come right back out?
Yeah.
You just wipe it off and eat it again? Or what happens?
Dark man's
like
leaking.
Like an itchy and scratchy routine.
Nasty.
You could be an excellent magician that way.
Yeah.
Just like start pulling pepperonis.
Oh, guys, a lid was rattling.
And steam was whistling. Yeah, here's a totally left field tangent thing. Do you think, has anyone ever actually polled deaf people to say, we don't need to know that steam was whistling? You don't have to type that.
Yeah.
Or is it, do they want to know that? Have they actually done any market studies on,
I wonder,
all this closed captioning? Is this really what people who need closed captioning want to know?
I can't imagine.
Because some of them would just go over the top like, unintelligible grunting, deep exhale. It's like, I don't see how that enhances my experience.
If it's somebody who's been deaf their entire life, what good does having words say lid rattling?
Yeah.
They have no idea what that sounds like.
Trance music.
I know those are words.
I know those are words, but I don't understand exactly what they signify.
Can you imagine not knowing what trance music was, not having any sense of what sounds were, and then someone says trance music? That would kind of be horrifying. There's music that makes you go into a trance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, God, I'm glad I'm deaf.
It's not nearly as scary as it
that's
sounds.
A more interesting story than this.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Sorry.
How do deaf people experience trance music?
Dun-dun.
Bum-bum-bum.
Dun-dun-dun.
Serenely.
So in this movie, he actually got to, of course, in iRobot, he's dead before the movie even starts. He's only a hologram in iRobot, but he actually gets to be an invalid in this movie.
There's actually, I think there's an anime, I think it's the one called Read or Die, which has nothing to do really with reading, to be honest. I guess it's like Funny or Die.
Anything to do with dying?
But it
has nothing to do with funny?
It did a weird thing. It did have a weird thing where it was like they created a robot Mozart that was powered by steam. That would play music that made people suicidal. I'm bringing it up because they never addressed the fact that part of the population is deaf. So it's like, what about them? Why don't we have a deaf hero? Wouldn't that be the great, but anyway.
Now, it would be a great setup for a deaf hero.
I saw him at Whole Foods once.
Anyway, that's mean. You saw who? James Cromwell?
James Cromwell. He's tall.
He's very tall.
Standby.
Remember a long time ago, you and Chris were at Dave, and I just came over to your apartment to hang out for like the first or second time. We played Trivial Pursuit.
Yep.
And the answer to the question was
Gondola.
Oliver Cromwell.
Oh.
And without thinking, I said James Cromwell. Nope. And I lost the game as a result.
I remember Hanel having to answer Gondola, but not being able to get it. It was like a lightning round.
Same game.
And then he screamed Gondola fuck so loud that the neighbors knocked on the door. Can you not say Gondola fuck that loud anymore?
We'll try.
We're scared.
It's going to come up a lot, though.
That's the last time you say Gondola fuck.
I don't understand.
It's just it's happening a lot.
Yeah.
I don't understand his logic here. He's going to kill all the people to save humanity.
Exactly. Who's going to be left? Because we've established that everyone is a surrogate.
Yeah.
So who's, it's going to be Bruce Willis is going to be
the rebirth of humanity.
And I'm actually okay with that. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly.
That's as good a plan as any.
My question.
The mitochondrial Willis.
Yeah. Nice. I like it.
Thank you.
Now, see, this is where it gets fun, where, Bruce Willis now he's jumped into the body of the bad guy. It's kind of a fun idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there's a little moment where this guy's like, wait, why are you changing your mind all of a sudden? That's nice. And then we have this like last minute. Okay, so here's the loophole
Jesus,
that we didn't bother to explain.
Everyone. Nuke the bastards.
Thanks, because we didn't have a scene where he had just explained that and killed himself dramatically. Yes, that is what
he
said.
Funnily enough, I was just with the guy who said that was his plan. So that part I know. Skip ahead.
I'm glad you're on board. I'm glad you're on board.
I don't have to tell you, but let's try to focus.
My question is,
why doesn't she just untie him? She doesn't have the key. Wait, she does have the key.
I don't like.
How could she not have the key?
One thing that bugs me is the weird.
She's a robot. Just karate chop the fucker.
The weird brightening that they've done on like her face and stuff, where it's like the red is kind of almost too saturated,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
In her flesh tone, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
They soft-lighted her.
They've been doing that throughout the movie. Not just her, but like a bunch of the surrogates. And it's
probably just one of the methods of smoothing out the skin they didn't post.
A joke that I made while we were shooting a movie I just directed, where there was a scene where it was this kind of scene, and I turned it into something where I actually had people like have to physically do stuff, because it was like, boy, nothing says action climax like typing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a slam-bang finale.
No He's one so will polite.
Did you just have the keyboard really
He
high
says,
so they had to keep jumping up and down to type on it?
Have to jump for, or you have to shoot each key with a gun or something.
Yeah, here's the moment.
You remember the end of Surrogates when that fat guy had to remember the password? Holy shit, I was at the edge of my seat.
Remember,
it was amazing.
Remember when it turned out to have to be shift and enter and not just enter?
I didn't see that coming. I totally did not see that coming. I was shocked. Oh. Look, here's a moral dilemma suddenly being...
No, it's not. It's not a moral... Yeah, that's
exactly.
a problem. It's like, Greer, no, we know what's going
so
to
happen.
So
now we have done...
And I don't know why
now
this
Now we have engineered
that.
The whole Deus Ex Machina, quite literally, where it's like, oh, there's a way to kill all everybody's surrogates without killing the people, suddenly.
I don't know why this guy even cares. Why do you care? Why do...
We've already established he's not a surrogate.
He wouldn't want to. So why is he so protective of everyone else's surrogate?
The thing I don't like is that right here, when everyone gets shut down, the cars all stop.
She doesn't even have to hit N. Like they make a thing of going and hitting N. It's like, that's the default. That's just what's going to happen if you get shot in the head like
Which,
that.
Which, by the way, a great setup for your climax is your hero having to do nothing.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Well, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, I like that.
Well, that's not a...
Constantine. You know, I like that. I'm okay with that part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It's not that he's doing nothing. He's making a choice. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's
fine.
If they have
but to, he made the choice at the beginning of the movie is the problem.
It's okay if the rest of the movie is set up well, but in a movie that's a mess like this.
If the surrogates have to be tailored to their users, how could he just sit down into James Cromwell's thing and do her?
So here we go. Here's the whole reason this movie was made was for this montage.
Yeah. Which, to be honest... I'd be tempted.
Almost worth it. Almost worth it.
If someone brought me this and I read this scene, I'd be like, awesome.
The cars
Let's
are stopping.
First.
Why are the cars stopping?
Because their foot came off the gas.
Yeah. Because that's
not how cars stop.
Yeah, that doesn't work, unfortunately.
That's very true.
That's true. It would have just drifted as opposed to actually hitting the brakes, apparently.
And why did the subway cars stop? I guess because
this doesn't make any goddamn sense.
I guess because the guy who uses a surrogate to drive a subway car took his hand off the dead man switch, I guess.
Dun, dun, dun.
This would be a cool start for the movie, too.
Yeah, this would be a great beginning of the movie.
Like I said, I can't wait to see
the
rest of
Why are they all just sitting there?
I can't wait to see the rest of this movie.
They should be going against the wall.
Or at least drifting. There should be some movement in the cars, at least.
Exactly. Yeah. Which brings up the next thing. It's like, okay, he just shut down every surrogate in whatever, however far Surrogateville lasts. You can't tell me that fatal things didn't result as opposed to that.
Right.
Yeah, planes aren't falling out of the sky.
Yeah, a dump truck didn't plunge into an office building where a bunch of people were lying on couches
pretending to be
surrogates.
This is a rapture scenario. This is like a sci-fi rapture is what just happened, basically, in a sense. They're all still there, but you do still have to deal with the consequences.
It's almost like the people who get raptured are still the people left behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting idea. Now there are X million robot corpses that need to be dealt with in the world, apparently.
So. Oh my, that's weird.
Yeah.
Hmm. How can you even still walk? Really? Yeah. Especially you. No, that's mean. But there should not be skinny people anymore.
There should definitely not be. Well, of course, who knows how often they eat.
That's,
that's a good point. So everyone just comes right out of
it. Everyone just kind of wanders around being like, so this is what it looks like, even though I knew that.
Some kind of inverse Night of the Living Dead scenario going on. Night of the...
Dead living?
Dead living. Yeah, so I was trying to go there. There was something like that. Bruce Willis was like, hi, just blew up the world. I'm going to see if my wife's okay.
Oh, yeah, it's weird with all the surrogates, right?
How does that happen?
That's right.
It's crazy. I'm going to be over here.
He is the sci-fi rapture equivalent of the guy walking away from an explosion. I know. It's kind of weird, right? Just move along.
I think Bruce's character, although he may have reconciled with his wife and gotten over his son's death, I think he's got some lawsuits that are going to be pending.
I think he's got
a couple lawsuits.
But then again, prove it was me. That's how surrogates work. Apparently, in the graphic novel, the ending, which this is
giant
an
squid.
Allusion to,
giant
is
squid.
That,
would have been so much better. Everyone dies, giant squid.
She did kill herself.
Ooh, good.
Oh, wow.
He came back and discovered that she had killed herself.
Fucking pathos.
Wow. An actual ballsy choice as a storyteller. Yeah.
Well, not if it's a one-off.
But not for a feel-good thriller like this one.
Yeah.
You're right. I do want to live after seeing Surrogates.
Of course. Right, yeah.
I made a shruggy face after that.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess, that's right. I guess the idea is that she was disfigured in that car accident,
right.
So she's a little
messed up. Yeah, she's hideous.
Yeah, she's, yeah. These two are going to, they're going
to.
They're going to have sex so hard because these are two good-looking people right here, man.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
That reminds me of, like, Phantom of the Opera, the movie Phantom of the Opera. They got Gerard Butler to play the Phantom.
Spoiler.
So, like, the whole point is he's disfigured, right? But they, like, he takes off his mask, and it's basically like someone took a piece of scotch tape and stuck it to, like, his lower eyelid and
nice.
Just kind of taped it down. Like that scene in Pee Wee Herman where he's, like, Pee Wee's Big Adventure where he's, like, taping his face up. That was the Phantom of the Opera. They, like, tweaked his face and gave him some acne. And that was his hideous disfigurement.
I want to see
that
Steve
made
Buscemi
him have to
as the
it.
Phantom of the
oh,
Opera.
Oh, yeah. See,
ooh, there
exactly.
you go. Nice.
I want to see Ving Rhames with dreadlocks. As the Phantom of the Opera.
It appears that we're on
whoa!
Our own. You were on your own before.
Did the movie just stop?
The movie just stopped. They ran out of film or something.
Yeah, it's not like...
It didn't even clear the building.
No.
Yeah,
it was kind of this awkward
Pan
frame.
Would cut.
But they were going to get to a point where this would all be worth having
But it's
been
so
watched.
Weird. That last bit, it appears that we're on our own. It's like you imply that there was someone overlooking you up till this point. Like you were saying, they took that section from iRobot where there was the overarching, like, you could be like, computer, give me a latte or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you, so now that's gone and they have to actually live. And,
they have
and
to get their own lattes.
Yeah, they have to self-sustain. But first world problems. But still,
but everyone still has to. But this, everyone's first like Bruce Willis. Problem. The first thing he does when he comes home in the beginning of the movie is he has to set himself out a glass of water. He is his own robot.
Yeah.
So it's like again, people are using these highly sophisticated robots to go to the store. I got to stop at Ralph's.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Get
it's
some
like
celery.
You can do that. They're not incompetent. They have been doing it, just not with their own feet. So you know,
surrogates. Is actually genius. No, if this was a comedy, it would be the perfect. I totally buy that someone would have written that plot, but they didn't write the jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually was talking to Trey after I watched it, and I said, do you want to do like a thing where we write different dialogue for the movie that is and just make it hysterical?
The thing that you're talking about there was actually, which we haven't seen, but I'm sure we'll get around to, The Last Airbender.
Oh, my God.
No.
IO9 wrote an article. I mean, I think it was the same guy who did the review for Transformers 2 and said Michael Bay finally made an art film. Because it just makes you question reality. Just watch it.
Life is laid out in front of
you. Yeah. But so there was a – there's a he did an article, M. Night Shyamalan finally made a comedy. And he was like – exactly what you're saying. He's like, it's so cliche and so stripped of any uniqueness that it's just a stand-in. Like it's a stand-in for every epic ever. And it's just hysterical.
So Last Airbender is the new Surrogates? Is that what you're saying? It's sort of...
Surrogates
is a generic thing.
Yeah, even though it's based off a great series. But I haven't seen Last Airbender yet. But I'm waiting for it to get, because I was not going to pay for it.
Yeah, don't pay money for
it. But I did see the original series and loved it. But, you know, we heard what happened with the...
Surrogates. Anyway. That's my feelings on it. Thank you, everyone else. Brian?
You're welcome.
This is Sci-Fi Movie Prime.
It's generic
totally
sci-fi pablum. Yeah,
I mean, it really is.
It's a sci-fi movie primitive. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Exactly. Like we said, it's a nice potential for the first act of a film, and it's just generic as shit.
You like the it's not even real Three Doors Down.
It's
or Nickelback.
Benjamin.
It's not even three.
It's Surrogate Three Doors Down.
It's Surrogate. It sounds like Nickelback, kind of. Anyway, Dorkman.
Nickelback dresses up. He gets into their Breaking Benjamin robot. Yeah.
And then he gets taken over by Ben Folds. It's really crazy.
Dorkman.
There's a good movie.
Surrogates. Come on now. It's actually pretty clever, don't you think?
What? No.
No.
No. Additional visual effects by ILM. Yeah. Don't. Really, at that point, additional visual effects by Alan Smithy. It's really,
really.
No.
Even ILM was like, we'll just take a one-line credit.
Yeah, we'll just.
Yeah, no, that's all. That's all.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's... what are you going to say? Said, I'm surprised we made it through. We got through the entire movie.
I'm a little surprised myself.
Yeah. I can sum it up with one sentence, and I have to say that I think we've learned one thing, and that is that Bruce Willis remains a stalwart action among action movie heroes.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, I think Bruce Willis, if anything,
you
almost...
You know what that blurb says? What that blurb is really saying is Bruce Willis's career survived
was
this
not
movie.
Destroyed yeah. by appearing in this movie. He yeah. acquitted himself well in this dog pile of a movie.
Bruce Willis remains.
Yes.
Bruce Willis remains.
Bruce Willis abides.
Bruce Willis abides.
Yeah, that's what we should
and,
say.
And Radha Mitchell's still doing okay.
Bruno
too.
Will abide.
Ah. So I don't know what else to say.
That
I really, mean,
really is. Wow. Oh, just wow.
It's everything I dreamed. I'll say that. How about that?
It's one of those movies that's just like, you wonder, like, you know, did everyone just kind of go, look, this is just, look, we're just, you
it's
know,
surrogates.
This is what we're doing today, okay? It's just going to be, we're going to do this for, but actually,
you
but
know what?
Apparently there's a whole story to it because apparently this is a whole recut, rehashed, yeah. God knows what. So I'm kind of curious to see what someone meant this to be.
Yeah. It makes me wonder because I always used to wonder how people dealt with bad scripts on set, whether you just, you know, lived with it or whether you tried to adjust it. And there's been certain experience where I've seen where you try to, and there's actually the behind the scenes of Empire Strikes Back, which is really awesome that I'm
we
sure we'll talk about.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. Where they try to adjust a scene. And I would really like to know what that specific
there's
situation.
There's no Hail Mary Hail enough to fix Bratz the movie.
But
but in Surrogates specifically, like what, if any, and to what degree and how did those kind of conversations take place?
Because
they obviously weren't successful.
But to an extent, I don't mean to disparage actors or anything, but to an extent, I wonder how many actors really have a grasp of story. You know, they grasp
I'm sure
their
Bruce
character.
Willis does.
Oh, sure, yeah, him. Which is why he's the one who comes out.
Which is why he boycotted the recut.
You know, generally, I would imagine, you know, they have to have enough of a grasp of the story to play it, right? At least of their story. But generally, I wonder how many actors can tell the difference between a good one and a bad one. And
Ed Norton sure as shit can.
Yeah, but how many just show up? They're like, I'm trusting you guys. That this makes sense when it comes together.
It can vary.
I think the great ones, the really good actors, more so than you would probably think.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, I might have told this story, but I helped my teacher shoot a sketch for her school, the school that her daughter goes to, and she's friends with Alec Baldwin, so she asked Alec Baldwin to show up this Saturday morning to shoot this little comedy sketch.
Nice.
And it was literally, Alec Baldwin was going to do this for a Saturday morning as a favor to a friend, and that was it. You know, no money, obviously, nothing else beyond that. And even
how about you? He got copy and credit though,
and meal.
And he shows up and throws a script in someone's face. This is shit.
No, even so, he was like, "Okay, what's the funniest way we? Okay, oh, so this is the way it is. How can we make it funnier? And not just showing up and doing it, but adding
caring.
And trying and caring and doing the best job you possibly could. So I think the really great actors are very much more to that model than we might otherwise.
Well, they're also a little more empowered to do it too.
Sure,
if you're, you know, like someone's showing up to be a day player, like you're a phenomenally inhumanly good looking person. You're here's a scene where you sit in a chair and you have four lines. I mean, how much are they going to go? This is ridiculous. I'm not saying it. What is this movie about? How are they even going to find out? So it can vary.
Surrogates got here.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway,
that's how most movies get in front of you. Really, though, It's a miracle that any movie makes sense the way they're put together sometimes.
At least.
This was Surrogates, and this has been Down in Front. You can always find more episodes at downinfront.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Get a brand new episode every single week. You can go to Twitter and find us there, Facebook, anything /Down in Front. You will find us. And if you go to the website and buy the DVD from our store, I'm not even going to put it up in the store. We get a buck. You can go to the forum. There's a wonderful conversations going on about this, that, and the other. It's a really cool community. I'd like for you all to come out, at least check it out. It might be show notes, you never know. And until next time, my name is T. Christie.
Brian Penifer.
Mike Scott.
And Trey Stokes. And this has been Down in Front. Thank you very much for listening. Good night, good night. Someone say something clever.
There's not even lines that you can, like, quote from.
Yeah, there's not even a funny
clever ending.
No. There's nothing.
There's nothing
that
you can take and twist into a punchline.
That movie gives you nothing to
work with. What is this? What is this?
What is this?
No, I'm sorry. Shift and enter.